Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Simon Harris, all but certain now to become Taoiseach in just a matter of weeks, which would make him the youngest Taoiseach ever at the age of 37, and it would cap a meteoric rise to the top of politics. But already speculation is turning now to what new faces he might add to his cabinet, when he might call a general election, what his priorities as leader of the country will be. And for more on this, I'm joined by Jack Horgan-Jones, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Good morning, Jack, and thanks for joining us. So one of the first things Simon Harris will have to do is select his cabinet. So what are his options and what will he need to consider? Because in the papers today, there is speculation about one name in particular, that of Simon Coveney, that he could be vulnerable. So what are you hearing?
Morning, Claire. So there's broadly speaking, two schools of thought on this. There's the path of least resistance, which is kind of what his predecessor, Leo Varadkar, did when it came to making cabinet appointments. And that would be to just fill the seat that he has vacated. So make someone Minister for Higher and Further Education, and you have a kind of, you know, de minimis shake-up. It's not a shake-up at all. It's more in line with what happened at the Taoiseach changeover. There's a kind of slightly enhanced version of that, where he could move someone out of their existing department. There has been some discussion around perhaps Helen McEntee being moved out of Justice, move them over to Higher and Further Education, and then put someone new into that exit of the portfolio. But what there seems to be, certainly in some quarters within Fine Gael, is a bit of a drumbeat towards doing something more substantial. And I think something more substantial would mean at least two, potentially up to three changes of cabinet, including the one seat that he has to fill already. So the logic underpinning this would be that in the first instance, Simon Harris is portraying himself and is being seen as, by the Parliamentary Party and by Fine Gael voters, as a chance to refresh and renew and reinvigorate a party that I think at this point admits itself has kind of a bit of listlessness, a bit of a sense of drift about it, and that part of putting a new stamp on that will be refreshing faces at cabinet. There's also, obviously, within, you know, the Parliamentary Party, there's no shortage of ambitious young people who feel that, you know, their time may be coming, and also that the faces at cabinet have been there for an awful long time. So If that is the logic that he finds persuasive, the question then becomes who is expendable or whose career may be coming to an end at cabinet. And the name that keeps coming up, as you said in the intro, is that of Simon Coveney. Now, I mean, he's such a fixture around the cabinet table that can seem almost like, you know, a little bit of heresy in some ways. But when you look at it another way, he's been there since 2011. You know, he's served in many different portfolios. And if you look at the narrow politics of it, a lot of the gossip around Leinster House yesterday, people were pointing out that when he had his leadership bid in 2017, Simon Harris was the only person to support him. And Coveney was out very early on Wednesday evening to say he wasn't going to seek the Fine Gael leadership this time, but no endorsement followed thereafter. So there's a bit of that knocking around, and then there's these persistent rumours denied by Coveney and his team, but persistent nonetheless, that he's not going to run again in the next general election. And that perhaps speaks to a wider view of him as having lost a bit of enthusiasm, momentum and energy, certainly since he moved across from Foreign Affairs into his current brief.
Okay, so though if this drumbeat that you're talking about, if that rises to a crescendo, that's one of the major changes of three you mentioned. The other would be Simon Coveney's own current job, that of higher education. And what's the other one then?
Well, there's not a huge amount of options then. So if you're looking for, if you take as read that maybe, you know, the most maximalist version of this will be three, and then you have one through his seat and one maybe through Simon Coveney. I'm sure Simon Coveney will have something to say about that.
Yeah.
So, and then where does the third then come from, right? You'd have to say that Helen McEntee is safe, perhaps only by virtue of her being seen as a main rival to Simon Harris. And, you know, it would be very poor politics and very poor optics for him to come in and try and take the legs out from under, you know, one of the main rivals that he has. Heather Humphreys is beloved of the backbenches, very popular in the Parliamentary Party, very popular on the grassroots. She's rural Ireland. She was seen as very close to Harris and as playing a pivotal role yesterday afternoon in dropping out and endorsing him at the same time. And she's also a potential presidential candidate, so I don't see her being removed. So then you're looking at Pascal Donoghue. Now, Pascal Donoghue didn't endorse Simon Coveney yesterday, he just said that he wasn't running. So, you know, there's a bit of a trailing leg there. But, you know, he's a person of significant status internationally. He has that role with the Eurogroup. So would you want to pass that up by demoting him from cabinet? And it would just be such an incredibly bold move to take on someone like Pascal Donoghue so early in your tenure. And,
isn't he also, Jack, a very important bridge to Fianna Fáil? Like, we all know about the relationship between himself and Michael McGrath.
Yes, he is. He's certainly at the start of this coalition, right? He was one of the two key connective tissues between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Himself and Michael McGrath, they'd worked together in competence and supply. They had a good rapport, a good understanding of each other. The other one was Deirdre Galán, the Micheál Martin's chief of staff, and Brian Murphy, Leo Varadkar's chief of staff. Those working relationships were basically what everything grew from and grew into a kind of functional coalition after a very rocky start. So getting rid of that, even though it's probably not quite as vital as it was back in those days, would again be a massive step. So it's not an easy and obvious option to demote Pascal Donoghue. So then you look further down the field, and you have Hildegard Nocton, who is the chief whip and Minister of State for Public Health. I mean, depending on who you talk to, you know, she came out late for Simon Harris. She didn't rule herself out. And there was one interview that she did on Wednesday, and people are saying that could count against her. But it is depending on who you ask. Some people say she's as likely to be promoted to cabinet as she is dropped. So the point, I suppose, in the round is that, yes, you have definitely one. If you fancy going at Coveney, then maybe you might have two. But if you feel you're going to do the biggest version of this possible, the third option is not immediately apparent.
Okay, so who do you think he would like to elevate to cabinet then?
Well, there's two or three names that are consistently in the running. Firstly, that of Jennifer Carroll McNeill. She is a first-time TD elected for the first time in 2020, but is seen as someone whose trajectory has been very steep. She went into the ranks of junior ministers at the changeover. She's seen as a very strong media performer and someone who kind of speaks to kind of Fine Gael core values as well. Alongside her, there's also Peter Burke, junior minister of long standing, and two portfolios seen very much as the next kind of generation of Fine Gael potential frontbenchers, and was mentioned in dispatches as a long shot as potentially having a run at leadership. And then the likes of Neil Richmond, again in the 2020 class, you know, who came up as TDs, had a bit of a profile as Shannon's spokesperson on Brexit, was elevated to junior ministry. So those kind of people whose star is on the rise, because for a long time those people who were coming through the ranks basically didn't get into cabinet. It took a long time to get to cabinet, and the majority of Fine Gael cabinet ministers were appointed by Enda Kenny, not Leo Varadkar.
But looking at that now, there has to be geographical concerns there too. If you look at Neil Richmond and Jennifer Carroll McNeill alongside Peter Burke, who would be in the Heather cohort of strong rurals.
Yeah, and that again, like to go back to Hildegard, you know, she's west of Ireland as well. So, like, would you get rid of someone from that neck of the woods in order to promote someone from the kind of the greater Dublin area or the east of the country? And then if Simon Coveney, if you're looking for him to step down, or if he indicates he's going to step down, then you're going to want a presence from Cork or Fine Gael, a cabinet, you know. So there are endless permutations and outworkings of this, and that's why it's one of those particularly vexed tasks that Simon Harris is going to be looking at, presuming all goes to plan, he becomes Taoiseach on April 9th, alongside everything else that comes with becoming Taoiseach.
And listen, on that, on the logistics around this, will it be April 9th, or given that there is no contest now, it certainly doesn't look likely, we'll know for sure on Monday, are we going to have to wait to April 9th for this to be officially ratified, or is there a way for it to happen before then?
Well, I think the only way would be for the Dáil to be recalled early. So it's not sitting today and doesn't sit for the next 2 weeks. Leo Varadkar today saying in Brussels that he would have no principled objection to recalling the Dáil if Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan were so minded. But I think there's stuff to be getting on with in that period. So obviously, you know, the appointment as it is likely to be of a new Fine Gael leader. We won't really know the choreography of that until Monday when nominations close. Fine Gael is saying that's the next thing on the agenda. So let's get to that point and we'll see what happens next. But then, you know, there will be a period of Fine Gael talking to itself about itself, of Simon Harris building up what will be his Taoiseach's backroom team. The Fine Gael Ardesh speech as well on the April 6th is seen as a very big opportunity for him to kind of lay out his priorities and generate momentum. And then behind the scenes within the coalition, I think that there's likely, and there are meetings planned between the presumptive Taoiseach, the leader of Fine Gael, as he will be, and the two leaders of the Greens and Fianna Fáil. Mm-hmm. You know, that triumvirate, that relationship, that Monday meeting that happens between the three leaders, that's been the bedrock of this government. And trying to gel those relationships and also feel each other out on things like the longevity of this government.
Well, that's key. That's key, isn't it? Like, the timing of the next general election now is hugely interesting, isn't it? Because we know the Greens and Fianna Fáil, both leaders have said, look, we want to go through to the full term. We want to go until next March. There was a feeling, though, that we were looking at an autumn election. We don't know where we stand now.
I think that on balance, an autumn election is probably still the most likely, but it's less likely than it was. I think that it's still the Taoiseach's prerogative, and a lot of the underlying logic that suggested autumn is still there. But against that, you have to now balance the fact that both Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan have re-upped their view that it should go full term. And I detected a little bit of softening in an interview that Micheál Martin did on your own programme a little while ago in the view around going full term versus going in autumn. But I think the fact that he said three times on Wednesday at government buildings that he felt should go full term is a reassertion of that. So going full term or thereabouts, I think, is what they're going to be looking for when they meet with him. They're not going to look for a kind of signed in blood declaration or anything like that, but certainly an inclination, a recommitment to that, a recommitment to the priorities of the programme for government and putting them in place to the fullest possible extent, so long as the underlying politics supports it, is what they're looking for. So I think that...
Jack, there's no way that Simon Harris could take the shock and awe approach that he appears to have done when it comes to his nomination and the support that he got to become leader of Fine Gael and go after the 9th of April.
It's possible, but I don't think it's likely. I don't think anyone becomes Taoiseach to be Taoiseach for a couple of weeks. I think that the temptation may be there. You know, there may be a little bit of pressure for it if there's a Harris hop in the polls, and there probably will be, just as a function of how much exposure he's going to get over the next little while. But I think that he'll probably be wise to knowing that these things can be kind of fleeting. Now, if that turns into a longer sustained increase in polling, then, you know, all bets may be off. But I think an initial kind of sugar rush will go through the system and he won't react to that. And also, I think that particularly off the back of the referendums, two things. One, they've still taken a massive knock to confidence off the back of the referendums. Confidence is really low. Self-confidence is really low. Their view in that they have a good ability to judge the electorate is really low. And secondly, I think part of one of the things that was going on in the referendum was the electorate reacting to what they saw as a kind of cynical timing of it on International Women's Day. I think that was part of the objection. So anything that looked like opportunism, like cynicism, like acting in a narrow political sense, I think that there would be a fairly low threshold of tolerance.
Yeah, it wouldn't go down.
The electorate for that.
Well, all right. Well, it's endlessly fascinating, and we'll be talking about it again in the gathering in the next hour. But for now, Jack Horgan-Jones, thank you very much for joining us. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.